All right, so as you're finding your seat, once again, thank you. Quick announcement before I get, prayer is mentioned already. We'll be in the cafe tomorrow at 7 a.m. If you are able to get up, and we would love to have you join us. We do pray for approximately 1 hour. Take any prayer requests. It's, as you know, Jesus said, my house will be called a house of prayer. I've confessed to you before, never in my flesh have I ever felt like praying. I usually have to crucify my flesh, not usually, I always have to come to prayer, but never once have I regretted attending. So keep that in mind tomorrow, and then 2 weeks from today, we'll have the Rescue and Revive Ministries Follow the Cloud concert here. Will and Angela Cabrera will be the ministers of music. We'll have Pastor Luis Diaz from Hope Christian Fellowship Eastside will be delivering a word, and then anybody who wants to stay will have cookies and coffee in the gym. So hope to see you there in a couple weeks. With that being said, let us pray, then we'll continue in 1 Peter chapter 2, a little bit more verses this week. We're going to go through, God willing, 9 through 23 of 1 Peter chapter 2, but let us pray. Father, we thank you again. We are in a place, God, of question, Lord, in this world, in this life, God. So many questions, so many things that are uncertain. In our global landscape, political landscape, God, maybe in our careers, in our workplace, in our families, as individuals and collectively, God, but we know that we have a solid rock to stand on. We know, as we've learned last week and reemphasize, you are the chief cornerstone of those who hear your word and do it. And Father, in spite of the trials of life, the winds that blow and the rains that beat on the house, if that truly indeed, if you are our chief cornerstone, our house will stand because of the foundation that our lives are built upon. So I pray today, illuminate your holy word to your holy people for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, and all of the Spencer Port Bible Church family said, amen and amen. And just in case you don't know, amen means so be it. So thank you for agreeing with that. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 23. And you saw the title that was up momentarily, and I abbreviated it to strangers, soldiers, and servants, but really, it's sanctified strangers, verses 9 through 12, verses 13 through 18, submissive soldiers, and then verses 19 through 25, suffering servants. So I attached an adjective to each one of those title words, those nouns, sanctified strangers, submissive soldiers, and suffering servants. And so let's get into it, picking up, and just to give the background as we pick up in the middle of chapter 2, Peter last week explaining the stumbling stone of Christ, now continuing the instruction to the Christians throughout those five regions that we've mentioned several times in chapter 1. And we now break it down into these three areas that the Apostle Peter is addressing. And so, verse 9, the Apostle says, but ye, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let me just pause there. We know a royal priesthood, royal because we serve the King of Kings, priesthood because of the chief high priest seated at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, holy nation, we are set apart, diverse, and unified. Peculiar actually means not so much as you and I would think of peculiar as strange, although that could be true for me and maybe some others, but a special or particular treasure. You are special, you are treasured in the eyes of the Father, in the eyes of God. And Peter is encouraging the people who certainly need it, that they are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a special or particular treasure to our Lord. Adjectives, descriptors to the people of God. Priesthood, nation, people. Always good to be reminded of that, but why?
that you should show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. That's the purpose of being part of that people group, sanctified strangers. You're going to see it referenced again here, depending on the Bible version that you're reading. Aliens, strangers, sojourners, etc., all with the same connotation. You don't really belong here. This is not your eternal home. A fixed focus. We are here today. Why? I like how the NASB says it, to proclaim the excellencies of Him. That's the reason you were called. If somebody asks you and you don't know what your calling is and you're not sure, you have an answer right here in this verse. Someone says, well, what is your calling within the body of Christ? You could tell them your calling was to come out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And all of us as part of those people groups, sanctified strangers, that royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, we're all called by God out of the darkness into the marvelous light. The same way the woman caught in adultery was called out. And Jesus said to her in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We're not a people without identity, but now a people of God with a specific identity when you receive that mercy and grace of God. He says in verse 10, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I love the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful. Why are they divinely favored? Why are they happy? Because they have received mercy. They have obtained mercy, not getting what they deserve. Peter, once again, reminding these persecuted believers who they are, what they've been called out of. Verse 11, still in the sanctified stranger section, dearly beloved, what a term of endearment. Term of endearment. You know, I was speaking with a couple recently about playing categories. I don't know if you've ever played that game. It's a great game. And sometimes you roll the dice and you get a letter, and one of the categories is term of endearment and so on and so forth. But isn't this a beautiful term of endearment inspired by the Holy Spirit, dearly beloved? Isn't there a beautiful gentleness and love behind what Peter is saying? Can you imagine, once again, Peter addressing his fellow disciples this way years before? I just can't. I just can't imagine that Peter looking over at John and saying, dearly beloved. I just can't imagine that. But once again, this is the same man that's received the mercy which he speaks of. This is the same man who realized why Jesus came, what his purpose was for his life and the disciples that walked alongside him. Dearly beloved, I beseech or beg you as strangers and pilgrims. There it is again. So often he's brought this up in this short letter and section of Scripture. To do what? To abstain. To stay away from, to get rid of what? Fleshly lusts, which do what? War against the soul. Notice Satan isn't mentioned here. Satan is not mentioned. This is your inclination, my inclination toward sin. And he is saying, stay away from, get rid of sin. You know, Satan gets blamed for a lot of things. You've been called out of Satan's camp into God's camp, out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And some specific denominations, they're so focused on Satan, and it's not Satan's fault. You battle your worst enemy every day. You say, who is that? The person that's sitting in the maroon chair right now. That's your worst enemy. You have victory over Satan. You've been called out of that darkness. But you battle your flesh the same thing Peter battled. You're battling your flesh every day, and Peter is encouraging these fellow believers to get rid of, stay away from these fleshly lusts that do what? They war. I love this acronym. I know I've quoted before. We are right. Every person who is still in darkness is at war with God. But then there's another war that goes on. Now the battle's over. You've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You are a sanctified stranger.
You are cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, saved and sealed. Your eternal home is in the kingdom of heaven, but the war still ensues. You are still battling yourself. The inner man, the outer man. I've told you this before. Romans explains it very, very well. In fact, there's a reference to Romans here. Romans chapter 8. It will not cease this side of eternity. And this is where condemnation can come into play. This is where confusion at times can come into play. You have to understand the war you're in. Yes, the devil's real. He roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But you are battling your will. You are battling yourself every day. Who's going to win? Is it the old man who's dead? Or is it the new man? What are you giving yourself to? What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we reading? What are we thinking about? What are we speaking? That's the war that wages on, and that's why the body of Christ today suffers so much, because we're battling so much that really doesn't have much to do with Satan, has to do with ourselves. The greater enemy when you're a sanctified stranger. That old nature that likes to rear its head and does things that Christians ought not to do. And then all of a sudden the excellencies of him are not being proclaimed, but the ugliness of sin. And the confusion to a lost and dying world. I thought you said you were a Christian. Well, look at this person over here. I've probably told you this before many years ago when I was in my prodigal son years. I truly believed I was saved. But I remember a young man telling me this, because I can't forget this when someone says it to you. He said, D, call me D, you are the worst born-again Christian I've ever seen. That is not a compliment that you want as a Christian, you see. You could be saved, you could be sealed, and you could be in a pig pen, so to speak. And until you come to that place, till you come to yourself and realize what you're doing, that you are allowing lust, the lust of the flesh, to just consume you, you need to repent. Maybe you're in that place today. You need to repent. In word and in deed, you need to have a change of mind. It's always the same step, no matter how far you veer away from the cross, the goodness and mercy and grace of God, to just repent. And your loving Father is there, ready to forgive. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He'll forgive our transgressions. It says in verse 12, having your conversation, remember King James, this means conduct, the way you act, not speak. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, this means unbelievers, not non-Jews in this passage. Having your conduct honest among unbelievers, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that may by your good words, not words, works. One of the few places in Scripture where I am not a huge fan of the St. Francis of Assisi phrase that we all know. If you don't know, he said it. I'll repeat it today. Preach the gospel always. If necessary, use words. I actually really don't like that phrase. Because most of the time, it's not true. The gospel is a word-spoken ministry. You must preach, you must proclaim the gospel. But there are a few instances in Scripture like this where Peter, the guy who had the big mouth, is actually saying, don't speak, let your good works proclaim the excellencies of Him. Let your good works do it. There's another section, interestingly enough, next week when we talk about marriage, where it's your works, not your words. So there are times where we're encouraged or implored, and this is one of them, that by your good works, which they shall behold, do what? Glorify God in the day of visitation. Glorify God. Sanctified strangers, and now a transition to submissive soldiers. Verse 13, submit or come under yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king, Joe Biden, as supreme, or unto governors, Kathy Hochul, as unto them are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. You say, hold on a second, doesn't say that. I know. Remember who Peter's referring to here. We've went over this before. Much worse than Mr. President Biden. Much worse. Much worse. They're on the run for their lives. We were talking about this Wednesday night. These Christians are literally, every day their life is on the line. If they're discovered, they could be killed on the spot. And listen to what Peter, their pastor, the apostle of hope, is saying to them. Honor Domitian, honor Herod, Nero, honor these governors, honor these kings that are absolutely sadistic and evil. Did you know that sometimes God raises up these leaders as judgment on a nation? There's good kings, there's bad kings. And God does not make any mistakes. Regardless of whatever your political position is and what your thoughts are on the last election or this election, the God's word does not change. It does not change. And what does this involve submission coming under? It involves a little piece of death to self, just like abstaining does. They're death words, spiritually speaking. I'll read verse 14 again. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, that's God, for the punishment of evildoers. And you're thinking, but wait a minute, I don't see them punishing evildoers. Hold on. And for the praise of them that do well. For so if the will of God that with well-doing, here it is again, your actions, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Sometimes the foolish men are the politicians. But people are watching you, and they're listening to you. And they want to know who you belong to. Are you a submissive soldier in the army of God? Or are you a radical politician? Let me ask you a few questions today that might make you feel uncomfortable. Are you riding with Biden, or are you going to make America great again? Are you part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation? Are you a chosen generation? What king do you represent, Christian? Who is your allegiance to? What king? What is your preeminent cause in this world? What crusade are you going on? Are you protesting or proclaiming? How are you fighting? Flesh and blood or principality, spiritual wickedness in high places? Those are good questions for us to ask ourselves, are they not? As Bible-believing, born-again Christians, which means little Christ, followers of Jesus, these are questions we have to stare in the face and be honest with ourselves. Where are we? Are we submissive soldiers in the army of God? Or are we off course? Are we AWOL right now? Are we caught up in something we ought not to be caught up in? Because I promise you, if we could hit a little holy time machine back to Peter's day, you'd be begging to come back into your maroon seats at Spencerport Bible Church right now. It's a question of whether or not you believe the Bible. Do you believe God's word to be true? Did this actually happen? Did this actually exist? Because if indeed it did, which I truly believe with all my heart, then we're still on a spiritual cruise, so to speak. But get ready, because here's what I honestly believe as I prayed about it this morning. I had the thought of an airplane. Buckle up. Turbulence coming. Turbulence is coming to this land. Turbulence is going to come, and we are going to see who the sanctified strangers are, who the submissive soldiers in the army of God. How does God do that? By turning up the temperature. And by turning up the temperature, the bride of Christ gets refined, and the chaff will blow away in the midst of persecution, and the grain, what has weight and substance, will stay. We're going to see what we're made of in 2024 as a local church and as a universal church in the body of Christ. As things get closer in the political arena, as things heat up, you and I will be challenged, and we will truly see where we are as the plane starts to shake a little bit. And the question is, who's the pilot? Who's in control? That's the question. Who are we leaning into, pressing into, leaning on, relying on? We're going to find out.
Listen to verse 16. He says, your well-doing will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then verse 16 says, as free. You have liberty. But he says, and not using your liberty for a cloak, an outer robe, a covering of maliciousness. Meaning you're using your freedom and you're saying, well, you know, they deserve that though. Well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but there is no but. It's all in, it's all out, it's black and white, it's truth. You either are a submissive soldier in the army of God or you're something else. Are you a proud boy? God hates pride. God hates pride. BLM, Black Lives Matter. Of course they matter, just like all other lives matter to God. You see, all these things get us off track from what the captain of the Lord of hosts is telling us to do in his holy word. And I have a new political position today that I will give to you, according to God's word. Here's what it is. When people ask me, what side are you on? I'm going to take the words of the captain of the Lord of hosts. When Joshua crossed over, and Joshua realized there's a man sitting there with the sword, standing, not sitting, sword drawn in his hand, he said, what side are you on? Are you with us or against us? And here's what this Christophany, this is what Christ said in the Old Testament. He said, no. He said, no. But as the captain of the Lord of hosts, I have now come. And here's what a submissive soldier does. Joshua fell on his face and says, what does my Lord bid his servant? There's my new political position if you want to know it. Republican, Democrat, independent, doesn't matter what you are. As far as your political opinion goes, when it comes to the kingdom of God, you are, and I am to be, a submissive soldier in the army of God. You suffer. That's the next section. There's suffering that's involved in following the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. There's orders to be followed by the captain of the Lord of hosts. And you say, that's it. So heavenly minded, no earthly good. Yep, you got it. Until he calls me home. You got it. That's what my instruction manual says. This is what I'm told to do. This is what Peter was telling these people to do. Don't get caught up in it. I know they blamed us for the fire. I know you're innocent. I know they're using our skin to light their torches. I know that they're imprisoning you. But stay focused on the call of God. He called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. You have a new citizenship. It's a different call now. It's a different call. Am I going to vote? Yes. Do I have my political opinions? Of course I do. Can I discuss with people? Yes, some people. If you can have a level-headed conversation about it. But make no mistake about it. People should know where you and I stand in terms of the kingdom of God. If you are more well-known about what presidential candidate you support or what governor you support than you are for the kingdom of God, I would say that's problematic. That is problematic. Unless you are indeed that politician. And even then. Listen to what he says in verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. First three, okay. Last one, you're thinking, I'm not sure about that. Honor the king. You know we don't have a monarchy here. Right? We have a democracy. We have a president. We have a vice president. Whether you like them or hate them, you are to honor the king. Question, I remember this, asking this years ago when Governor Cuomo was in office and we were in the midst of all that stuff. Remember he was telling the state troopers to play peekaboo through the window at Thanksgiving and everything, and everybody was up in arms about, which was ridiculous, right? It was ridiculous. The state trooper said, no, we're not going to do that. And I had a really interesting question when I was praying with a group of people. I said, well, how many of you have prayed for Governor Cuomo? Dead silence. What did the king tell us to do? What did our king tell us to do?
What is the captain of the Lord of hosts told us to do? But you keep battling in the flesh. We want to do it our way. We don't want to do it God's way. You want to get your guns, you want to get your swords, you want to get your shields, you want to stock up and do this. And then God will say, go ahead, go for it, do it your way. I'm the captain. It's my way or your way. I'm not speaking against bearing arms. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm telling you that we have very specific instructions, the same instructions the Apostle Peter is giving to these people who are in a far more persecuted situation. And we need to take heed to it. We really, really need to take heed to it as things start to get shakier in 2024. Don't use that freedom to cover up your desire to really injure or harm in word or in deed. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Listen to this, not only to the good and gentle, but also the froward, or the harsh, the stern. For this is the thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So in other words, just like the publicans, where Jesus says, hey, even the publicans love their own. That's not hard to do. But can you suffer when you're doing right and you're treated wrong? Christian, submissive soldier, that's when God gets the glory. That's when people see Christ in you and I. And that's when we have the tendency to start to lose that battle in the flesh and start to complain and blame and not proclaim. Well, they deserve it. He deserves this and this. No more eye for an eye. Jesus said, no more eye for an eye. No more tooth for a tooth. He said, die. He said, lay your life down for another. No more. No more slicing ears off, Peter. See, Peter gets this. That's why he was the conduit chosen to write this, moved by the Holy Spirit. He lived what he's writing. So now a transition to the last section. Suffering servants. Suffering servants. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well, as I mentioned, and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You should expect it, Christian. Let me read to you Richard Wurmbrand. If you haven't heard of Richard Wurmbrand, 16 years in a Romanian prison. I've referenced him, but it's been a long time. These are the men, in my mind, if there is such a thing, they would be in my hall of faith. Heroes of the faith. 16 years. By the way, he suffered unjustly. He didn't deserve to go to prison. He went to prison for the cause of Christ. And there's writings of him. This is from Richard Wurmbrand in God's Underground, this faithful Romanian pastor from whom his scars on his back and his imprisonment started the Voice of the Martyrs ministry, the persecuted church. Listen to what he says. One quote. He said, there were two kinds of Christians, those who sincerely believe in God and those who just as sincerely believe that they believe. You can tell them apart by their actions in decisive moments. One more quote. Did I believe in God? Now the test had come. I was alone. No salary to earn. No golden opinions to consider. God offered me only suffering. Would I continue to love him? The answer for him was yes. What's the answer for us? We'll know when we're in that place. We will know when we're in that place of suffering, what our answer is. Proof is in the pudding, as they say. Verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. This was the example left for us. Peter's saying, do you remember the Christ? He suffered, and now you are going to suffer, Paul. Paul, you are my chosen vessel to suffer, not to live comfort, to suffer. Why? For the cause of Christ, that glory would be brought to that suffering servant, so that people would be brought into the kingdom of God through your suffering, through seeing Christ in you and I. That's the example that you should follow in his footsteps. Anybody here pray for suffering? Not me. Anybody? Yet it's inevitable that as a Christian, you will have to endure it.
For who did no sin, verse 22, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. This is reference to Isaiah 53. Who when he was reviled or insulted, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That refers to the crucifixion. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop or overseer of your souls.
I want to end with the words of Jesus. And these are words Jesus spoke when Peter walked with him. And these are hard words. I realize this. It's instructions. But needful. I cannot stand up here before you and lie to you. Tell you soft things that I know are not true. To tell you that everything is going to be great, just wait until the next election. That would be a lie. I'm not going to do that. I would rather step down. I realize that this is difficult, but the Apostle Peter is delivering this to a group of people that are suffering. To a group of people. Why did he write these things? Because there were some people that weren't following the instruction manual. He's saying honor the king because they weren't. And so that, who are you honoring then? Who are you serving? I thought your Christ suffered. I thought he died. I thought he washed your feet as an example. I thought he healed the leper, the one that everybody else cast out. I thought when he was insulted, he kept his mouth shut. He didn't fire back. Who do we represent? Body of Christ, Spencerport Bible, who do we represent? People will know by our actions and by our words. So Jesus says this, and it's a reminder, John chapter 12, verses 23 through 26. Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, unless a grain of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abideth or remains alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world will keep it unto life eternal. If any man serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serves me, him will my Father honor. Well, here's three areas we learned about that will assist your death eternally or spiritually seeking. I'm not talking suicide. God is not. Satan comes to kill and destroy. I'm talking about spiritual death. I'm talking about your will. I'm talking about your way. This is what Jesus is referring to. This is what Peter is telling these Christians to do. Three words, abstaining. That's a death word. Stay away from the fleshly lusts that war against your soul. Submitting. Coming under authority of the king, the governor, your employer, whoever it is, your family member, your parent, suffering for doing what is right and patiently enduring the suffering. Well, what happens? What will happen as you die? Others will come to life. As you die, others will come to life. That's what Jesus is saying. Die. Fall to the ground and die. And then you will see life happen. It's been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and it is true. How did the New Testament church start? We read it this morning, the blood of the Lamb. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. If the church is being called to anything, I firmly believe this. If the church is being called to anything in 2024, I believe God is calling for his church to die. To die. do it eternally. D-I-E. To die. Stop looking out for yourself. Stop building the bigger barns. Don't waste your life. Don't serve mammon. Don't live for yourself. Fall to the ground as a grain of wheat and die for the cause of Christ. I'll make you a promise today, according to God's word. Peter, Paul, James, John, Ruth, Esther, Priscilla, Aquila, and the list goes on and on, all have one thing in common. They're in glory. And they don't regret it. Don't look around you and get caught up in what you see. Look up and remember the hope that you have within you. Remember the hope. The object of your confidence must be Christ. When your family is falling apart, your house will stand if your house is built upon the rock. Your marriage will survive if your house is built upon the rock. You'll make it through the hardship of your employment, even though you're being treated unfairly. Rejoice because your Messiah did. Whatever the trial may be, some I have no idea of. Some you may be going through absolutely heart-wrenching difficulty that no one can relate to other than the suffering servant himself, acquainted with grief, a man of sorrows. Give it to him. Cry. Weep. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Get alone with God. It's time for the church to lay down their lives in 2024. Live for the purpose which you were called. What? What's your calling? Called out of the darkness into the marvelous light to proclaim His excellencies. That is your calling today. And as long as you serve King Jesus, it doesn't change. For His glory and His honor. Amen. I just want to end before I pray with this. There's been a song I've been listening to over and over again. Doesn't matter who the artist is, but I have found it to be so therapeutic. You know, I really enjoyed worship this morning. God uses music as a way to minister or serve His bride that He loves so dearly. But I'll just end with these lyrics of hopefully comfort, because I know that wasn't so much of a comforting message. But God's word is like a sword. Two-edged, and sometimes like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. But I love these lyrics, and I keep listening to this psalm because it's been so therapeutic for me. Jesus, I need you. Every moment I need you. Hear now this great broad heart. Sing out your praise forever. I like that. It comforts me because it's true for me. I need Jesus every moment. Every single moment I need Him. I know it's by His grace, and I want to praise Him forever. I pray that you can find comfort in God's word or in a hymn or a spiritual song or a song of praise this week as we buckle up. Enjoy today. Don't get caught up so much. As I mentioned earlier after communion, the sunshine is out in Rochester. That's reason to rejoice. The sky is blue. That's a reason to smile. Don't worry so much, because if you do, you're out of God's will. We need to buckle up. We need to get ready. We need to. You and I were born for a time such as this. Prepare, soldier. Prepare, servant. Prepare, stranger, for God's honor and glory. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity as we prepare for what You have foreordained. Whatever we walk in, God, I echo the words of the Apostle Paul. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to be abound. He said He can do all things through Christ who strengthens Him, meaning regardless, in a castle or in prison below ground like Your servant Richard Wurmbrand was. His position was not moved. He was part of the royal priesthood. His peace was not taken. It passed understanding. His salvation was sealed by the work of the cross. God, help us. Help us. And help those right now that are literally walking in some of the words that were spoken today. Those that are walking in the sermon that was preached today, give them the grace they need to glorify you and to get through until you call them home. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Tom.